Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I am Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and also ESPN.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I'm Mike Lupica of the New York Daily News and MLB.com. And welcome to our one podcast of the week, our pre-Christmas, pre-semifinals of football. One more week to go in the NFL season edition of the Sports Reporters podcast, which is obviously the continuation of our long-running series on ESPN. On Sunday morning, by now you know we put the band back together. A lot happened in the NFL yesterday. Nothing completely memorable, but a whole bunch of things happened that are going to influence the rest of the season going forward. And we have to start with, and Mitch, you weren't here the other day. Bob and I were talking about, despite the records, this was a fascinating game between the Eagles and the Cowboys in a division that has fallen on hard times. They still, Bob said this the other day, they still have more rivalries than any other division in professional football. And it was the kind of rock fight that we have seen from the Eagles all year. They are vastly depleted. They remain an incredibly tough out. And I'll start with this, guys. In the Dak Prescott versus Carson Wentz game yesterday, it was Wentz who made the big plays and Dak who did not.
It was, and we don't know to what extent Dak was hampered by the shoulder. You know, we have to give him that benefit of doubt, but he showed up, he had a play, and he did it. And the other guy played better. There's no question. I just want to say overall, I'm amused by this whole scenario between those two teams, because what this outcome did yesterday was reconfirm everything about both teams. In other words, that they're both unpredictable, that they're both unreliable, that they both are teasing their fans in a cruel way all year.
But Bob, you can't say the Eagles are teasing with all the guys they've lost this year. I look at a team that's hanging in there.
Okay, that's true. That aspect of it
well,
is true.
They may be hanging in there, and they deserve credit for hanging in there. Although they've been inconsistent, and they were 5-7 a couple weeks ago. Yeah. But having said they're hanging in there, I don't think they're going to go far in the playoffs. I don't think either one of these teams would have gone far in the playoffs, given some of the other teams that they're going to come up against in the NFC. You gotta tip your hat to the Eagles' defense yesterday as well. I mean, you know, everybody just starts with Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz has a good game, but you know, that it's not easy to shut down Ezekiel Elliott. I think this was the only time that he didn't have like more than 90 yards against the Eagles when he played them. He had 40 something yards or something?
13 carries for 47 yards.
Non-existent. I mean, you shut that down, you take the engine out of the car for the Dallas Cowboys, and you put pressure on Prescott to win it by himself, and he obviously couldn't, and their receivers weren't very good. But, you know, that play in the end zone right near the end kind of summed the whole thing up. It was good defense that won this game for Philadelphia. They can continue to do that. They'll have a better chance than on relying on their receivers and Carson Wentz to have a great game every week.
How is it that Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott somehow aren't on the field for the biggest moments of these games? And you know, how many times this year, guys, have we looked at a Cowboys game and they show Cooper in a big moment standing on the sideline? And it happened again yesterday, and Elliott's out when the kid makes the fumble. And what is maddening about the Cowboys to their fans is this. They had just come off one of their best wins of the season. They had showed you once again all of their possibilities. I mean, obviously Jason Garrett's going to get fired, and the amazing thing about the Cowboys is they're still not out of this.
Because that's what I was alluding to,
because
you know, the idea
Mr. Ryan,
that they're coming off that big win and rousing up their fans.
Who do they play next week, Bob? the Eagles. Who do the Eagles play? They play the Giants in Jersey, and the Giants, even though they were playing the Redskins yesterday, at least Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley had a big day. The Giants are perfectly capable of winning that game off of the Eagles next week.
They got a pulse. They're home. The quarterback's coming up a 5-touchdown day. Yeah, but about the Cowboys, that's the thing. I mean, that's quintessential 2019 Cowboys, right? They have the game of the week a week ago and roused people's hopes and not a must game, but a really, 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 really important game for them. They stumble, that's it. They don't get the job done. And by the way, speaking of Elliot, I was reminded of the old line about the only person that could keep Michael Jordan under 20 was Dean Smith, and apparently the only person who can keep Ezekiel under, is his own offensive staff, because
He's done. You think that's it for coach of the Cowboys?
Oh God, yeah. Oh no, there's going to be a thing after the last game, Mitch. If they don't make the playoffs, Jerry may fire him on the way to the bus. Okay, mm-hmm. and then it'll get interesting. But again, there's too much going on. And by the way, something interesting happened out in Seattle yesterday. The Cardinals, not only did Kyler Murray once again show you his vast potential, then he gets hurt. Brett Hundley comes in, takes him down the field. The Cardinals go into Seattle and beat the Seahawks. And guys, if the Packers ever beat the Vikings tonight on the road, which they are capable of doing despite their win-ugly season, it is the Packers who still might end up with the top seed in the NFC.
Yeah.
Well, this was a really weird game for Seattle, and I watched it. And
me too.
First of all, I thought I was watching a young version of Russell Wilson when Kyler Murray was doing his zips and ins and out.
Isn't he great?
He's fantastic. But he's got that same thing that Wilson has, not just legs. I mean, but there are a lot of great quarterbacks that have legs, young quarterbacks that have legs and can run. He's got that ability to like move forward, move backward, move sideways, move around. He's like a Pac-Man dot, that he sees him coming, he goes the other direction. And he did a lot of that, a lot of running inside.
A shorter Lamar Jackson, Mitch.
Yeah. All this. I mean, we're living in the gilded age of running quarterbacks,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, I mean, even Hundley was a great runner for a lot of that game yesterday. But I was surprised how they could not protect Russell Wilson. He got sacked multiple times, and he was hurried a lot of the rest of
the time. Cardinals defense, Mitch. It was the Cardinals they were playing.
Well, they're going to play tougher defenses if they're going into the playoffs. I mean, this is but they were also on the precipice of it. It was one of those weird games that it really didn't make that much of a difference if they lost it, because their big game is the one that comes up against the 49ers. And it always... It always plays in guys' minds. The NFL players are just too smart and too seasoned to fake like they don't know the difference between a game that absolutely matters and a game that doesn't really matter. And sometimes that's the difference between the kind of effort that gets you a win and gets you a loss. We'll see which team shows up next week. There is no larger jump between whoever wins that game next week between the 49ers and the Seahawks, and whoever loses it. I mean,
And Mitch, guess what? There's no doubt in our mind that the 49ers could go up there and win this game, okay? And, I mean,
if Arizona just did it.
No, and Mitch, if the 49ers can go into New Orleans and win, they could certainly go up to Seattle and win, but that Seahawks could be in the process of making some real playoff trouble for themselves if they lose this game. And again, Mitch, what you were saying is true. Yeah, they're going to step up in class now against that 49ers defense. The Cardinals, Kyler Murray has kept his team into most games this year, okay? But the Cardinals can't stop anybody, and they shut down the Seahawks yesterday.
Yeah. If I have it correct, if San Francisco wins the game against Seattle next week, they get a bye in the playoffs. If they lose, they go on the road as a wild card team.
That's crazy, but Mitch, they might have to go to Philadelphia on the road and play, a 9-7 Eagles team.
They would have. It's even bigger than that. if they win, they could have home field advantage through the playoffs. The playoffs would have to go through San Francisco. If they lose, they go on the road in the wild card. I don't remember there ever being that big a gap,
no,
other than, you know, not making the playoffs at all or winning your division in recent history.
That was a big game. I mean, I don't know how much you watched of the 49ers-Rams game.
It was a great game.
I mean, Garoppolo makes third and 16 plays on the last drive, the last for the touchdown. If they lose that game, then it would have gotten even much worse for them. And again, it's why the Packers-Vikings now is such a big, I mean, it's an even bigger game than normal tonight, because the Packers can do some real good for themselves. And even if they lose tonight, they're still going to end up winning the division, but they will probably blow a bye.
All this said, what it adds up to is that what a dream scenario for the league to have on the last week of the season this much intrigue about things. And as you said, the juxtaposition for what could happen for the 49ers is maybe very historic. And, you know, I think it's just wonderful drama setting up completely for this whole thing. So, you know, you got uncertainty,
you know,
back in the AFC about who's going to be the number 2 and 3 seeds and get that bye. The Patriots are not a lock against the resurgent Miami Dolphins.
Let's stay in the NFC here for a second.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Let's stay here because it's easier to kind of keep things organized that way. I want to say something about the LA Rams and the nature of NFL football. There is a big lesson to be learned here. They are officially out of the playoffs now. It cannot be overstated how much we declared, and anybody who had a brain, you know, and was looking at that team with Aaron Donald and Jared Goff and all those guys, that they were, you know, the coming team of the next 5 years. And the fact that they made the Super Bowl was evidence of that, and the fact that they lost the Super Bowl was just going to be, well, they're young. No. I mean, in 1 year, you can literally go from Super Bowl to mediocre, and they are now out of the playoffs and trying to figure out how do they catch the San Francisco 49ers, who were not a team you worried about catching last year. So this is why, like in cities where I live, and Cincinnati and places like that, where the football is just bad year after year after year, why the fans get so frustrated. Because they look in other markets and they see fortunes really can change in a year. And if you put the right people together, right quarterbacks, right head coaches, right offensive coordinators, things can really turn. They can also go the other way, as is evidenced by L.A. But we shouldn't walk away from the L.A. Rams being eliminated from the playoffs without at least commenting on where we were last year at this time and last February when they were, you know, in a game against the New England Patriots.
Yeah, the season started.
They made the Super Bowl-ish, remember. And Mitch, tell me that you were not convinced. I was not convinced. Bob was not convinced about Jared Goff, even with the season that he had last year. And he got undressed. And I know other quarterbacks have gotten undressed, especially young quarterbacks by Belichick, okay? But that was always my caveat about the Rams. He threw as bad a pick six as I have seen thrown in the NFL this season the other night against the 49ers. How he didn't see the guy coming, and it completely changed the fortunes of the game and officially knocked his team out of the playoffs long before Garoppolo made that throw at the end. So if I'm a Rams fan, And I'm watching Jared Goff, you tell me that you're sure that he's the guy that can lead them into the next 5 years and take him back to another Super Bowl.
Well, I think you're being a little harsh on him. I think he's got a lot of talent. And you know, Cam Newton and other quarterbacks who have gotten their head handed to them in Super Bowls have had hard times coming back from such things. And we'll see next year, you know, if it's a 1 year hangover or if that's a permanent state of affairs. As for the worst pick six, you just don't watch enough Detroit Lions football. We have one every week. But I don't know. I don't think he's as bad as you're saying, as you're suggesting.
I don't think he's a Super Bowl quarterback again? Mitch, no. And Mitch, let me tell you something. If you're listing all the best young quarterbacks in the NFL right now, this minute, he's not in the top five, and he might be scraping to get into the top 10.
Only furthers my point about how things change.
Yeah, well, didn't the season begin on a discordant note with the Gurley pay me controversy?
Yeah, and Bob, guess what? They might get passed by the Cardinals next year because the Cardinals may turn out to be an extremely ascendant team. And again, when I look at that, the NFC West is going to be extremely entertaining over the next 3 or 4 years. Some 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, and Kyler Murray's in Arizona.
Oh,
and,
by the way, I'm sorry. I have to throw this in. All the criticism launched at the Patriots for their very soft, easy schedule, which at the beginning of the year, which it was. Next year, guess what the crossover division for them is? NFC West.
Oh, good.
All right, but Bob, we promise we'll get to the Patriots in a minute.
No, I'm just saying NFC West.
There is a team called the New Orleans Saints who, if there's any justice in the world, will be in a Super Bowl this year because they should have been in one last year. And, you know, I watched that game against the Titans, and it was a bit of a trap game for sure, given where they're at and given what they were coming off of. And they're a different team on the road than they are at home, clearly down in New Orleans under the dome. But they came back from being down against a pretty decent Titans team who has been playing fairly well and won that game. And, you know, Drew Brees is I always felt that if Drew Brees came along at a time when Tom Brady didn't exist, half of that media that's fawning over Tom Brady would be thrown over onto Drew Brees.
Wait, I got a better question for you, Mitch. Let me ask you this. Take Brady out of it for 1 second, okay? Who's, when you add everything up, and you consider the fact that it was defense and not him that won him his second Super Bowl, who's had a better career, Drew Brees or Peyton Manning?
Wow. That's a photo finish.
Who would have ever thought we would have asked that question even five years ago?
I'm mystified that not you guys, I'm not my friends here, but that people are sudden, almost like they're discovering Drew Brees because of the great game he had last week and some of the stuff he's done this year. I mean, I had him in my head in that category, in that lumping of a clustering of quarterbacks he's been there.
May I ask you guys another question while we're on the subject of great all-time quarterbacks, just because of the two that I just asked you about, Mitch? How much of a difference does it? Zach Lupica asked me this question yesterday, and it's a good question. Both Peyton and Drew Brees have been helped tremendously by playing half of their games indoors. I mean, think about it. You think Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have liked to have played half of his games indoors? You think Brady wouldn't have liked to have played half of his games indoors?
There's no question. And the precision passing that you associate with those quarterbacks is frequently because wind isn't taking it and rain isn't taking it and all the rest. No question about it. It's a good point, Mike.
And Mitch, guess what? The wind and the rain inside Ford Field has been killing the Lions. Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
But yeah. It's no guarantee, okay? But the reason, Bob, that you brought that up about, you know, you're surprised that people have are kind of coming around on Drew Brees, or it was 2010 that he won a Super Bowl. I mean, that's an eternity in modern sports fans' minds. You're talking about a decade since he won that Super Bowl over whom? Indianapolis, and the quarterback that we're talking about.
But
so
the year that he had, the distinguishing thing you mentioned, the precision and the accuracy, was this unprecedented needle threading that we saw that year. You know, it may be impossible to document it, but that was the thing that distinguished them.
And it's why, Mitch, it's why that call against the Saints was a history-altering call. Because when you saw the Patriots against the Rams in the Super Bowl, we talked about this the next day. You couldn't help but thinking, oh, man, you think Drew Brees wouldn't have done better than 13-3? Against the Patriots in that Super Bowl?
It's true. No, It was,
right.
It was
right. Well, that's why, you know, if there's any justice, he'll get another crack at it.
All right, let's go to Mitch. We've got it's Christmas. It's Bob Ryan is our dear friend. We've got to go to the Patriots now, Mitch. We have to, Mitch. Come on, find it in your heart.
Flip
Mitch.
Over to the NFC. Here we go,
Mitch. AFC. Come on, Mitch.
All right. Okay,
come on.
Okay.
Put it. Under
I want
the
you
tree.
To know. I watched every minute of the Patriots game. Okay, Bob, for you. I watched every minute of the Patriots game because Patriots Bills doesn't generally excite me, but. I watched every minute of
it. That was a good game, though.
It was a very good game.
Wasn't it a
and
good
Tom
entertaining
Brady,
football game?
Don't, you know, Tom Brady reminded people, don't write me off just yet.
Right.
You know, he had a great statistical game, and if you take into account that the passes that were incomplete were mostly throwaways, which he has got a ridiculous amount of this year, they flashed that statistic on the board. I couldn't believe how many deliberate throwaway passes he's had this year, which is him just saying, I'm Tom Brady. I surveyed the field like Terminator, you know, and I saw there was literally nobody open or nobody capable of getting open or no Gronk that I could throw to who would get open. So I threw the ball in the dirt. And he has so many of those that, you know, you can't even judge him statistically the way that people are. But he looked fine. And, you know, you still wonder if Belichick and that coaching crew aren't going to figure out some – you know, lock combination of how what they have to do to just win two games to get to the Super Bowl this year again.
Well, all right, you're absolutely
Bob, Mitch,
right.
I'm gonna give this to you again because I gave it to Ryan the other day, and Ryan he didn't dismiss it out of hand, but he you know how dismissive he can be with me, Mitch. I mean, we saw it for three decades. Okay, can you see a scenario where the Patriots defense becomes the Broncos defense that beat the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl and carried Peyton across the finish line when his game was far more diminished than Brady's is right now? Is it crazy to suggest that that might be the blueprint for these Patriots going forward?
Not only is it not crazy to suggest, that's their best chance.
Right. Are you going to rely
on the other offensive weapons besides Tom Brady to carry you to a Super Bowl victory? There's no way they win this. They win this championship with defense, or they don't win the championship. There's no question in my mind. But that,
Can you see them going to Baltimore and getting a game against Lamar the way the Broncos got that game against Cam in the Super Bowl when Cam was the next thing?
I absolutely can. And honestly, I think they're working on that game plan right now. If you kind of look at Bill Belichick's history, he's already figuring out where they're going to play. They're going to get a bye. All they got to do is beat Miami. So they've got two games to get to the Super Bowl. And you know, they don't know who they play in the first one. You know, I guess I don't know what the scenarios are. Could they end up with Kansas City in that game, or would that have to, would that they be playing someplace else? I don't know. I guess it's too early to tell. But, you know you're going to end up with Baltimore, and they're probably trying to figure out a way right now. Is okay, what do we do to win one game against Baltimore? You know, whether it's in Baltimore or not, for the Patriots are too seasoned to care if it's on the road or not. You know, it's not a dome. There's not that big a difference. They can win outside. I think they can win in Baltimore. They can win in New England. But, I think that's the scenario. That is absolutely the scenario. And, you know, whether
Bob,
they do it or not, we'll see.
Bobby?
Yes?
The Patriots, if they beat the Dolphins, okay, mm-hmm. they get a bye, right?
Right.
So they would then end up playing the Chiefs in their first playoff game, right? The Chiefs are not going to get a bye. That's why that was such a big win for the Patriots against the Bills on Saturday.
That was important. The most important.
So the Patriots, right? I'm misreading this. They're going to have to play. They're going to have to beat Mahomes, right, Mitch? They might probably have to beat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
Well, no, that's most likely the deal. Yeah. The narrative on Brady, is a little bit different today than it was a week ago because he's coming off the succession of games which were historic, his worst stretch of under 60% completions, the worst yards per pass attempts stretch of his career. And then he comes out on Saturday late afternoon and hits his first 11 passes. And they weren't all dump-offs. And he looked completely revitalized for some reason, and it you know certainly it was very it was encouraging, I suppose is
the
only word to use.
Are they singing a different tune in New England, or are they still?
Well, yeah, you're going. I mean, you had to be skeptical. I mean, I was a leading skeptic. I mean, we watched it. Watching him struggle this year, a lot of it is because of the surroundings and the lack of protection and the lack of weaponry, et cetera, the lack of a running game. And but he also has had way too many uncharacteristically terrible throws, and there's no pattern for them, whether he's underthrowing or overthrowing or throwing low. Anyway, all that was like. Yeah, why? What are you talking about on Saturday?
Were you encouraged, Bob, by what you saw, especially in the second
half? Yes, and also the fact. Yes, I was, and also the fact that they did run the ball. Now, the week before, they ran the ball against the worst run defense in the league, and this week, but they ran the ball against a good defense. Sony Michel is that's another one. Sony Michel in the last 2 weeks is running harder, more visibly determined, more physical and angry than he's done in this 2 years. He never had a 100-yard rushing game, but he got 96 this week. Rex Burkhead, there's a key I got to tell you. Yeah, Rex Burkhead is a very good football player who is when he's on the field. And that's the trick, is keeping him on the field. You saw the difference with having him around.
Oh, yeah. He was huge.
He's so unreliable, viable physically, But he makes it. He makes a difference. But Brady, yeah, Brady was encouraging.
All right, Mitch, I got a question for you that I asked earlier in the question. This game between the Ravens and the Steelers will be extremely meaningful still to the Steelers, despite the fact that they got beat by the Jets yesterday. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're the Ravens, would you play Lamar Jackson?
Yes, I would play him because I think at his age, you don't disrupt that rhythm. They're going to get a bye anyhow. And I don't think you want to mess around with the kind of season that he's had. I don't know that I play him the whole game.
Yeah.
But I don't think you want him coming into his first playoff game. Did he play a playoff game last year?
Yeah, no. Remember, he started off so terribly against the Chargers.
So it's not his first playoff.
And kind of had him in it in the second half.
Right. So it's not his first playoff game. But I don't think you want him coming into a playoff game where he hasn't played in 2 weeks. That young kids, they go on momentum and they don't have the muscle memory yet that a Brady has. You can just step in. So yes, I play him. I don't necessarily play him the whole game, and I certainly don't. I tell him. Okay, you don't have to run for 150 yards in this game. Drop back, throw some passes, stay sharp, get home healthy. That's basically
it. All right, Mitch, can I ask you something? Now, I don't know how much preparation time you need, but would you like to give everybody the tutorial on the two inside straights that the Raiders have to play? Mitch, wait, everybody turn up the volume on however you're listening to us, because Professor Album is going to tell you about all the things that the Raiders needed to have happen to still make the playoffs.
Well, they already got some of them.
They're like halfway. Mitch, they're halfway there.
Halfway to basically owning the deck of cards. And for a team that, will end up in Vegas, why not? So, all right. Here's what they need to do. They have to beat Denver.
Tell what already happened.
I don't even have that in front of me.
Okay, five things that happened yesterday still have to happen. Right, right.
They have to beat Denver in their last game. All right? Right. Possible. Possible. Very possible. Then the Ravens have to win, the Texans have to win, and the Colts have to win. Okay? Now, so the Ravens have to win that game against Pittsburgh. The Texans and the Colts have to win. And if they get all that, then one of the four following teams has to win also. Chicago, Detroit, Kansas City, or New England. Now, that's pretty much a lock, because New England's not going to lose that game to Miami, or they fall from number two to number three. So there's a reason to win that game. So they got that part. So, and I think they can beat the Broncos. So they got to get a win by Baltimore. That's tough, right? And then tell me who Houston and Indianapolis are playing.
Tennessee at Houston.
Houston's playing Tennessee.
Indianapolis.
And Tennessee's grinding to get in.
Yeah,
because
Tennessee's trying to stay in it. Yep. Yeah.
So Indianapolis at Jacksonville.
And Indianapolis can beat Jacksonville. So it could happen.
sounds like Larry David, doesn't he? Sometimes.
It could happen. It could happen. No, you know, so I wouldn't put my
I got a question
bank savings on it.
I have a question for Mr. Lupica.
Okay, go ahead. This is a good one.
And I know you're sitting a little bit south of the home base, but
yeah,
the
sure,
moment,
go
but,
ahead.
But you have your finger on the pulse of the Gotham. Yeah. How are fans reacting to the Giants blowing Chase Young out the window?
They think that it was crazy, but you know, you can't make guys not play hard. Okay. And what they saw yesterday, and I keep telling people, pump the brakes. They're playing the Redskins. They have won four games this year. Two of them are against the 3-12 Redskins. One is against the Dolphins, and the other one was against Tampa Bay, who is now 7-8. So they haven't beaten a good team all year, okay? They were sitting there with a chance to get Chase Young. All they had to do was lose two more football games, okay? And what Giants fans, Mitch and Bob, are really scared about is that the owner is going to see enough in these last couple of games to keep the current general manager and to keep the current coach. And he will tell people, oh, look how well Daniel Jones is doing. I can't fire the coach under whom he has shown this development. So if there was a bad win yesterday, and Mitch, there's no reason for you to know anything about this game. The Giants had two touchdowns on the Redskins in the fourth quarter. They're still ahead by a touchdown when Case Keenum, who has come off the bench for Dwayne Haskins, who had played really well, they're on the 1 yard line, the Redskins. They go 99 yards on the Giants to tie the game. And Bob, a lot of people thought that the Redskins at that point should have gone for two in the last 30 seconds to try to win the game. So
yeah.
Even though the Giants showed some fight yesterday, they probably cost themselves the best player other than Joe Burrow in the upcoming draft. Because they could have dropped as many as four places in the draft by winning that football game.
Well, we're watching the same thing with the Lions here, and we thank the New York Giants for winning that game.
Yeah.
Because now the Lions have sidled up to number three in the draft, which is perfectly typical for the Lions because they need a Chase Young like a drowning man needs a rope, and they'll end up with the number three pick and probably miss out on him by one pick if Washington doesn't beat the Cowboys. Now, if Washington beats the Cowboys, the Lions are number two after Cincinnati, who's clearly going to take a quarterback. And so then the Lions would end up with Chase Young. They'll find a way to blow it. Everyone around here is figuring it. They'll end up beating the Packers in the last game of the year somehow and blow it that way.
And by the way,
you're not the only team that's gone through that, Mike.
But Mitch and Bob, as I understand it, the Bengals, even if they had beaten the Dolphins yesterday, they couldn't have blown number one pick, right?
That's right.
So they played them to the end. And then they came back and everything. So here's my question. And then before we get to college football, okay, here's my question. And even though nobody's really going to know how Tua is for months, okay, do you think the Dolphins are going to take Tua with the second pick in the draft?
Well, they,
if they end up with the second, if they end up with the second pick.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to end up with the second pick. But they could still end up having the right to pick a quarterback.
Lions, there's no way they'd pick a quarterback.
No. That first of all, you know, Stafford's just 31 or whatever, and he'll come back. And their needs are, you know, you draft a quarterback, all you do is you just pay this current quarterback $150 million. What are you going to do with that? And that's not the Ford's way of doing things.
Right,
no, they need a defensive player. But whether it's Miami or anybody else, how high does Tua go? I don't know. He had an awful good body of work going into that injury, but that was a pretty serious injury
and they're going to be people wondering. It's going to be, he's going to have to show where he is physically. No question, that's going to be a big. Before we leave the subject of the draft picks and such, we have to offer yet another Sports Reporters podcast salute to Mr. Flores and the Dolphins and Mr. Flores' coaching job and what he's done with
that. Wait a minute. Guys, tell me this. I'm trying to look at this now. Who's got the second pick? If the season
Washington,
ended right now.
Right now. It's
Washington's
Cincinnati,
got the
Washington, Detroit.
So they're going to, Mitch, three. They're going to take, if it's the Redskins, they're going to take Chase Young because they've already got a quarterback. The Redskins, the Giants may have handed Chase Young to the Redskins yesterday.
And that's the Lions' worst-case scenario. One pick away from from the franchise pick that they need. And then they'll probably pick a tight end with number three.
I'm telling you right now, I know I'm obsessed with this, but I think this is a very, very, very interesting game the Patriots have at home. Fortunately, it's home against the Dolphins. The way the Dolphins are playing and the coach, who knows this, the Patriots as well as you could know them, and the way they're playing, I mean, it's not a gimme, that's all. And I think, which is all nice. Right.
And they can't lose that game, Bob. I mean, that's a big difference for them, too. They go to number three seed.
Oh, they got complete incentive.
They have to play an extra game. They got to play on the road. Oh. Yeah.
This is a total incentive to win.
All right, we got to turn the page here because we are not going to be talking to everybody before the semifinals in college football are played. But before we get to college football, a reminder that today's edition of the Sports Reporters podcast is brought to you by our friends from ExpressVPN. Listen, we live all over the country, Detroit, Boston, New York, Florida, but we like watching the teams and games all across the country, like the Lakers and the Rockets, whatever, which used to be a big pain for us because they don't always show those games in our area. But this season, we discovered an amazing trick that lets us watch every single NBA game live for a fraction of the normal cost. It's called ExpressVPN. Here's how it works. The NBA offers the NBA League Pass, which lets you stream games online. But if you live in the US or Canada, it doesn't let you watch all of them. Some games are blacked out. So what do? You fire up ExpressVPN and use it to change your location to a different country. Buy and use the NBA League Pass from there, and boom, no blackouts. And depending on the country, NBA League Pass could cost them less than $15 for the whole year. ExpressVPN works on your computer, phone, router, and consoles like Fire TV, so you can watch all the games from any device. Even when we're not watching NBA, we have ExpressVPN on 24/7 because it also encrypts all our data, keeping it safe from hackers. Enjoy all 1,230 games of the NBA season in HD with the world's most trusted VPN, ExpressVPN. Use our special link today to get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/reporters, after which you can sign up for NBA League Pass at a huge discount. That's expressvpn.com/reporters for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/reporters to learn more. All right, guys. Which one do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about one versus four,
Clemson,
or do you
Ohio
want to talk about
two?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Well, I mean, I've been positioning myself for weeks here that Clemson is sitting there in a comfortable position, watching all the things happen, listening to all the noise, hearing all the criticism. They didn't play anybody.
Nobody's giving us any respect.
And the last time we saw them play somebody, it was the Alabama, Crimson Tide. And ask Nick how that one came out. They're in an absolutely enviable position. Now, of course, they got a tough opponent. Of course, they do. But I just said, they're sitting there all year saying, "Okay, you guys can talk and you can fight about who's one and who's two. Come to Papa. We're ready for you." And so I'm really anxious to see how they perform against the Ohio State University, who at times this year has staked the claim that you can say, what team looks better than them? And the answer is nobody. And then, of course, LSU can make the same statement. I'm more intrigued with that game. I expect LSU to beat Oklahoma, okay? Period. I would think we'd all be...
Well, you and the rest of the free world.
Yeah.
But 2-3 is... Listen, I think in the Clemson Ohio State game, Justin Fields is going to be the wild card in that. Okay. Trevor Lawrence has been there before. Trevor Lawrence obviously is not the same Trevor Lawrence as he was the first third of the season when he was throwing the ball into other people's hands. He's turned that around. And experience absolutely matters in something like this. And Justin Fields doesn't have that experience. Ohio State has that experience. Justin Fields, as their quarterback, does not. And the amount of harassing that the Clemson defense can do on him will have a lot to do with it. But they have a great running game, Ohio State does. He doesn't have to be a miracle maker. He can manage the game and make some big throws here or there, and they could win just fine. I do think there is something to the fact that they haven't played anybody. I'm sorry to bring that up for Clemson fans. And I'm sorry that Dabo Swinney says, we can only, become the pop. All right, all that stuff aside, it's a legitimate point. You haven't faced a team this kind of caliber until now. Are you up to doing it? I see this as could be one of those games where Ohio State jumps out to a big lead. You know, they smack Clemson for the first couple of series that they play against them, and they have to get used to it. And then it settles into one of those fights. And, you know, college football is frequently not decided until the fourth quarter. These college football games, especially college football playoff games, feel like they go for 6 hours. They're the longest type of sporting events that there are, more than the NFL. And developments in the first quarter have very little to do with what ends up happening in the end of the game. We've seen that before. I think this could be a national championship right here between these two. Obviously, you can't leave LSU out of it, and so, you know, there'll be another game. But I've watched Ohio State almost every game this year, and certainly in the big games that matter because I live in this part of the country.
Yeah.
They are a really solid team. And the only thing that I can see being a question mark is Justin Fields on this stage. And how he handled. But he's certainly played against really good defenses. He's played against Penn State. He's played against Wisconsin twice. He's played against Michigan. He's faced a lot more warfare than Trevor Lawrence has this year. That's all
this
I'm going to
say. This year, but we know what...
Can I say
Trevor
something?
Yeah.
Can I say something about Bob's Clemson Tigers? Last year, they didn't play anybody either, Mitch. Okay, they didn't, and then they draw a dream opponent in the semifinals of college football playoffs, and they get Notre Dame. The fact remains that when they did get to the tournament last year, the score for them was 70-19 in those two games. So there's nothing different about them not having played anybody this year than there is with last year. And when they got in there against Alabama in the national championship game, they kick their ass. Now, am I saying they're going to do the same thing to Ohio State? No, I don't believe they are. But everything we're saying about this year's Clemson team could be said about last year's Clemson team, except for this. No one knew as the season unfolded what Trevor Lawrence would be by the end of the season. Now we know who he is, and we've also seen him play himself through some tough early innings. And so, you know what? We'll have a lot of fun with this next week. I think they're going to beat Ohio State. I do.
I have a bonus question for you guys. They're actually playing in a quote-unquote bowl game. Which bowl game are they playing in?
Is it the Citrus?
Oh, you've already made it my day. Because I couldn't have answered it either.
I just looked it up. Isn't it?
That's the other game, gentlemen.
Oh, sorry.
They are the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm just saying. That's all.
Okay. I'm just going to throw it out there, and then we'll move on to the other game. South Carolina, Wake Forest, NC State, Wofford, Boston College, Louisville, Florida State, UNC, Charlotte, Syracuse, Texas A&M, way back, Georgia Tech, Citadel. Okay.
Yeah, wait. You want me to read last year's schedule? Do you want me to read last year? You want to play that game? I'm happy to play that game. Furman, Texas A&M, Georgia Southern, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, Wake Forest, NC State, Florida State, Louisville, Boston College, Duke, South Carolina, Pitt. You know, I mean, come on. What's so different about last year's schedule as opposed to this year's schedule?
No, it's not. It's exactly the same. But now, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State in the last three weeks, Rutgers, Maryland, Wisconsin again, Northwestern, Michigan State, Nebraska, Miami of Ohio, Indiana, Cincinnati, Florida Atlantic. Okay, early part of the season. I'm just saying the last 3 weeks, Penn State has played all ranked teams. And Ohio State has played all ranked teams, and Clemson has not. Mike, you could be absolutely right. They could blow them out.
It's so hard.
It's apples
a great
and oranges
game, but they're not
they
playing Ohio. Mitch, they're not playing Ohio State's schedule. They only have to play Ohio State in this football. All right, let's go to the other game, because I think the other game is interesting. Let me ask you guys this, because I've been thinking about this. Obviously, LSU is the favorite. Obviously, Joe Burrow is playing at as high a level as we've seen any college quarterback play at a long time. And he's a great kid. And his speech at the Heisman thing was great, and he raised a lot of money for people who are hungry. Okay, all that. If it turns into a shootout, and it's the one concern you have about LSU, They don't stop anybody either, okay? Is it improbable to think that if it turns into one of those 42-41 games, that it is impossible for Jalen Hurts to win this football game?
No, it's not impossible, which is why I think, I'd advise.
No, I would bet on LSU, too. What I'm saying is, if it does turn into one of those games, and I think it might turn into one of those games, I give Oklahoma, Mitch, I give them more of a puncher's chance.
Well, they've been there. And again, that does matter. You know, this is, the third time that they've been in the playoffs here in a row? And LSU has not. And so there's a newness to the whole thing. The fact that you've had off all this time, that takes some getting used to. Jalen Hurts clearly knows what this stage is like. He knows what its stage is like with another team, but he knows what the stage is like. And, you know, having played in Alabama, I think counts. And, Mike, that's the scenario that they want,
right.
I believe.
Right.
That's what they want. Oklahoma wants to win 55-53. They're fine with that. You know, you're talking about the number one and number two total offenses averaging 554.4 yards and 554.2 yards, okay? That's the difference between total offense between these two teams, 0.2 of a yard. So they're perfectly capable of playing a shootout. Having said that, this will end up being a 14-10 game, you know, because they always always go against what you think they're going to be. But don't knock the fact that Oklahoma's in the semis for the third year in a row and LSU is a newcomer to this. That I do think that matters at some point, at least early on in the game.
The spread is an eye-opening 13.5.
I was just going to say, Bob, you just read my mind. Yeah, it's like two touchdowns. Touchdowns.
Which
that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, but again,
they're begging you to bet Oklahoma.
Remembering what a spread is all about, and you know, so
yes, they're trying to entice you.
The spread's about public perception. It's betting on public perception. Their analysis of public perception.
But you know what? We were all been talking today about how everything has laid out so nicely for the NFL this year. If you're college football, you can't ask for a better four than this.
No. Hey, clear all decks, take the phone off the hook. You know, I don't want to hear about it Saturday.
This
I know what
great.
I'm doing from 4 to
it's
and
all
what,
great.
And wait, it, is it's Clemson? Great and it's, wait, I don't even know the schedule. Is Clemson the second game? I don't know what the television schedule is.
Clemson's at 8.
They're the first
game.
Clemson, Ohio State is you know.
As it should be.
That's
the marquee one.
They're still the defending champs. That's, of all the factors that we can talk about with both of these games, there's a little muscle memory that comes with, you know, Etienne and Trevor Lawrence and Dabo. They know how to play this game. Because guess what? They play it every year.
Yeah, they play it
every single year. They are the Patriots. They are the Patriots until somebody knocks them off.
Don't you love the way, like, television just clears this all out? So all the NFL games are on Sunday. So it doesn't get in the way. And you've got these two, you'll watch college football all afternoon and all evening on Saturday. And then the bowl games, which come in between. And then, you know, the January 1st games. And then whatever it is, January 13th. Is that when they finally play
Monday night the 13th.
Yeah, on a Monday night. So they get out of the way of the NFL game. I mean, it's...
Well, yeah.
It's all coordinated and it's all, but it's all good for the TV watcher. That's for sure.
It's going to be a fun football. All right, listen, it's time for our parting shots. I'll tell you what, I'll go first today.
Now, parting shots.
There is no more overrated operation in pro football over the last quarter century than the Dallas Cowboys. And since the face of the Cowboys and the voice of the Cowboys is Jerry Jones, it means that there is no more overrated figure than Jerry. There was a time not long after Jones got the team when the Cowboys won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years and really should have become the first team in history to win 4 in a row. But Jerry got rid of Jimmy Johnson and replaced him with Barry Switzer, and that was really the beginning of the end of the dynasty. Since their last Super Bowl in the mid-90s, the Cowboys have won a grand whopping total of 4 playoff games while losing 10. Oh, they're a cash cow, and Jerry was able to build that Palace of Versailles Stadium in his corner of America. They haven't become perennial losers, of course. They're not the Knicks, but they're sure not America's team any longer. Now they're 7-8 and need a win and a Giants win over the Eagles to win the NFC East and somehow make the playoffs. In a few weeks, they'll be in the market for a new coach. And there was Jerry talking away after his teams lost to the Eagles last night. Maybe they're listening in Texas. No one else is. But there is an expression from Texas that covers Jerry these days. All hat, no cattle.
Gentlemen, the Los Angeles Lakers had a worthy goal. They wanted to go through the entire regular season without losing two in a row. So now, with Sunday night's loss to the Nuggets, they are on a three-game losing streak.
Oh, my God. Right.
Now, LeBron didn't play in that one, so there's an asterisk. But do you know how hard it is to do what the Lakers wanted to do? Even the 1995-96 Bulls, who won 72 games, couldn't do it. They roared into February of 96 with a 41-3 record, and then they lost in Denver and Phoenix, and that was that. The 73-9 Warriors of 4 years ago? Hey, they lost two straight in the first couple of weeks of the season. It's hard, damn it. Which brings me to something no one knows. Well, except me, because I was there. The Boston Celtics of the 1970s once went 271 games covering more than three seasons without losing three in a row. That's being consistently dedicated and professional. Let's see somebody go after that one.
Ho, ho, ho. It's time to play Santa Claus in the NFL. And let me look in this big sack of presents and see what we've got.
Oh, goody. I love this. Yeah.
For Jerry Jones, a crying towel. Sorry, that's all you get when you already bought all the talent and you still don't make the playoffs. For Cincinnati, an entire new franchise. New stadium, new uniforms, new name, the works. For Aaron Rodgers, a new product to pitch. Those Allstate ads are getting old. For the Cleveland Browns, a giant chill pill. For Baker Mayfield, an extra giant chill pill. For Eli Manning, one more year someplace else. For the LA Chargers, an answer to the question, what the hell happened? For Patrick Mahomes, well, what do you get the man who has everything? For Lamar Jackson, ditto. For Mitch Trubisky, a razor. That facial hair ain't working. For Drew Brees, a Super Bowl that he should have had last year. For the Philadelphia Eagles, a chance to have a loyal fan base like Detroit's. For Detroit, a chance to have a team like the Eagles. For Roger Goodell, a single controversy in which he actually comes out looking like a leader. For Bill Belichick, a smile. And for Tom Brady, a fountain of youth. Oh, wait, he already has that.
Yeah, sure.
Merry Christmas, NFL. That's going to wrap it up for today's Sports Reporters Podcast. We thank you for joining us here. We do this normally every Monday and Thursday. Holidays we're reducing down to one per week, but we'll be back with the full schedule come the new year. If you like what you heard, then please give us a comment. And if you didn't like what you heard, leave us a comment as well. And please make sure to rate the show as well. Go ahead. Give us 5 stars. It won't hurt. It's Christmas. You can also find us on Pandora Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. Until we see you next Monday in time for the new year, have a wonderful Christmas, everybody, and enjoy the holiday season.